so glorify God in your body. You may be seated.
Great to be back with you this Lord's Day. We continue to miss Michael and Amber and their family. He gets out of quarantine tomorrow, but they are doing well health-wise and recovered well, and so we're thankful for that. I know there are others that we missing, and we are thankful for those who have been able to come back. We are supposed to have done this sermon 2 weeks ago, but because of the sickness, we were not able to do that. But I want to finish this two-part series. About 4 weeks ago, I think it was, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't know, some time ago, we did part one, and chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians in verses 16 and 17, Paul would say, "Do you not know that we are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." We emphasize that Paul is talking about the temple as the church, the body, and that we as individuals can harm or destroy the body. And we looked at four ways in the book of 1 Corinthians that you can harm the church and how we don't ever want to do that, because if we do, God can destroy us. But then if you turn on to chapter 6, 19 through 20, you see that Paul then will talk about the body as individuals. So that not only is the temple of God the whole church, but it's also we are a vessel for the Holy Spirit as individual Christians. So now he's talking about the individual. So part one was about the whole, the church, and now part two is going to be about us as individuals, not destroying the temple of God. Where Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with the price, so glorify God in your body." You may have visited a museum at Fort Knox. You may have been a soldier there or been stationed there for some time. But at Fort Knox, it's known primarily for the vault that is there that holds what is said to be some 4,600 tons of gold. It's also been a place that held in the 1940s the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. At the time of the research that I did, it said that it was holding also some 23,000 soldiers at the 109,000-acre complex around Fort Knox. And so it's a large facility up in Kentucky that spans three counties. And, of course, it does a lot there. It's not just the vault. But think about that gold in that vault. And why is it being held by all this tremendous security measures? Because it's valuable, right? It's incredibly valuable when it comes to earthly standards. Now, you think about Fort Knox and its incredible value and how it's in this huge vault. Then I want you to think about the Old Testament and the Jewish nation and how they had the temple. And how in the temple, just like Fort Knox is there kind of in the center of that and they keep it guarded. So the temple was in the center of Israel. The tabernacle was built, and every time they had moved, they put that there in the center. And in the most holy place was the presence of God. What was it? It was the most valuable thing to them. The Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God. And the Levites and others ministered there to that tabernacle. And it was the most valuable thing to them. Now, you think about how they adorned, when they built the temple, when Solomon built the temple, adorned it with all kinds of gold and precious jewels and metals, and how it was incredibly elaborate and beautiful. Because of its value. Now I want you to think about that great temple of the Old Testament and about how we guard valuable things today. And what I want you to hear God say here in 1 Corinthians 6 is that you are the temple of God. You are what is valuable to God. that you have the Holy Spirit within you, that you have God within you, and that you are the most holy place, if you will, and that the church today is the most holy place, and that we are God's temple on this earth. And so this means that we ought to understand that we are to be holy with our bodies. We are to be holy. In fact, the Bible would emphasize that we worship God, and this may sound simplistic, but I think it's important to note that we worship God in our bodies. We worship God in our bodies. There is the biblical view of our body is that we have a soul. All of you are souls that is going to spend eternity forever and ever in heaven or hell. You are a soul primarily. But your soul, for this time period here on earth, from conception to death, is housed, it is encompassed in a body. And that body is a part of who God made you. And that the Bible talks about us as a soul, a spirit, and as a body. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord." In Mark 12, verse 30, the great commandment, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with our strength. Now you think about it, heart is our emotion, our soul is our spiritual part, our mind is our mental part, and our strength is our muscles, our body. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our various parts. We have, throughout history, we've often vacillated, we've seesawed between different emphases. From emphasizing, for example, the body in the physical realm, or emphasizing a medical realm, or emphasizing a psychological or mental realm, and what we've got to understand, or emphasizing a spiritual realm, and what we think, what is man? What is a person? A person is not just mental. A person is not just a physical body. We don't need to just think only about the medical part of who you are. You're also an emotional person, so you need to think about your mental capacity. And what you, those things that affect you mentally and emotionally and psychologically, that's who you are. But you also got to think about spiritually and about the spiritual impact of life, that you're a soul and that you have a spirit and all these things spiritually as well. And one part of that is our body. Because we worship, we serve God with our bodies. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says we are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 here, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul would say that we are going to give an account on the day of judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done. Notice this, in the body. You're going to be judged on the day of judgment for what you've done in your body, whether good or bad. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. Here's the thing. We talk about our money. We talk about our time. We talk about these various kind of things that we need to be good stewards over. One of the things that we've got to be good stewards over is our bodies. And your hands, your feet, your eyes, all these things that God has given us are given to us as a blessing, and we have a stewardship responsibility with them. Now, we're not to go to the opposite extreme of the Bible. We're not teach us to worship or adore the body or to think that the body is going to live forever. We understand that the body is going to pass away and our body is going to deteriorate. Our body is going to get old and we're going to die. This outer tabernacle is going to be put away, as Peter talks about. But that doesn't mean we don't have a stewardship for the body. Now, have y'all ever... You've probably done this. Man, I won't admit it. Well, you've watched a movie at home. You've watched a movie with your kids, your family. And then you thought, man, that was a good movie. And you think, I tell you what, we're having a lock-in, or we're having a youth camp this summer up at camp, and we think, hey, let's show that movie up at camp. That was a good movie. Pretty clean movie. Let's show that up at camp. Let's show it at the lock-in at the church building. And you start showing that movie, start watching that movie, and it's at the church building, or it's at the camp. And you're like, whoa, I didn't hear, don't remember that word, don't remember that thought, don't remember that scene. And you think, well, we don't need to be watching that movie here. You hear that? We don't need to be watching that movie at the church building. We don't need to be watching that movie at camp. What do? We talk about holy things. Why? Because this is a, quote, holy place. It's a holy area. And that's bad theology, right? That's not good. That's not what the Bible would teach. That's how we think, isn't it? Is that that's a holy area, and we don't need to do that. You know, if you hear people say, well, you shouldn't say that word in the church building. Well, you shouldn't say that in the church building. Well, it doesn't matter whether you say it in or out of the church building. You probably shouldn't be saying it. But we use terms like that. Now, let me say this. What if you apply that bad theology truly to what's holy? And you actually got it to be good theology, the right theology. Your body is holy. What Paul is saying is, you have God within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You should not be saying those things, doing those things, participating in those things. You ought to be doing that, not be doing those things. Why? Because you have God with you. You are a holy place. You are a temple of God. You are God's vessel here on earth. You are valuable. And so just as we often put up places, we ought to realize you are that place. And there's three areas. Three areas that the Bible talks about, that I want to talk about, that we need to be good stewards of our body in. The first one is, in 1 Corinthians 6 here, right, that Paul is speaking of, is sexual purity. And that's the context. He says in verses 12 and following, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. He's quoting the Corinthians. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. They're saying they have the right for it, basically. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. They're saying that they have a desire for food, they have a hunger for food, and they have the right to fill that, their bellies up. And God will destroy both one and the other. Now, we do that same thing, right? I mean, after this, some of you might already be growling. You're thinking, what am I going to eat for lunch? And we know that our bodies demand that we eat, right? And what they were saying is, well, they have a sexual desire. Their bodies demand that they fulfill that, and that they have the right to fulfill that in any way they choose. And Paul says, but God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You are not meant just to be a sexual being. You are. We are created male and female. We do have sexual desire. But that's not our sole purpose. Our sole purpose, notice this, Paul says, is for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God will raise the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. We're going to be raised in the day of judgment. For do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? You see, you have Christ. You are walking and living with Christ as a Christian. You have Christ within you. You have the Spirit of God within you. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. They were going to the temple there at Aphrodite and going to the prostitutes and worshiping in that way. And they felt like they had a right to do that because they had a physical desire. And Paul says, do you know that when you're going up to that temple, that you're marching arm in arm with Christ? And would you take Christ if Christ's physical body was here and there's Jesus and you say, hey, Jesus, let's go to the temple today. Let's go to the prostitute today. And you would never do that. That would be never, Paul says. You would never say, hey, Jesus, let's go to the prostitute. But when you do it, You're taking Jesus with you. You see, that's what Paul goes on and says. Do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord, you're joined to the Lord, becomes one spirit with him. You are one with the Lord. So flee from sexual immorality. For every sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexual immoral person sins against his own body. You're harming your body. You're emotionally and physically and all these ways you're harming your body. For do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought at a price. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he talks about how we're to be sanctified, and our sexual purity comes from our sanctification in the Holy Spirit. We need to remind ourselves we live in a very sexually immoral world where we're being tempted. And it's not just young people that are being tempted, but old people are being tempted. All of us are tempted with this. And we're debating, you know, how do we handle this? Because once we fail, we certainly can be forgiven of that. But as we fight this battle, and as we fight this struggle, whether we're a single person or a married person or a young person or old person, how do we fight this? The way we fight this is not through just thinking about the consequences and thinking, well, that's going to ruin my marriage, or that's going to get me a disease, or that's going to cause me to have an unwanted pregnancy. That's going to, not by just thinking about the consequences, but by thinking about who we are. We are carrying God with us wherever we go. We're a holy place. That's why we are to be holy as God is holy. And so our idea then is I can be empowered not to give in to the temptation. I can be strengthened not to give in to that. Because of I am a Christian, I have the power of Christ, and Christ is with me, and I don't want to take Christ into that sexually immoral environment and profane Christ. Got to think about how our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit as we control our vessel, our body, when it comes to sexual purity and what we do with our bodies. The second thing we've got to think about is when it comes to substance abuse. In 168 B.C., the Greek king Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, came into Jerusalem. And in a very famous thing, he took a Greek god, Zeus, and set that idol up in the temple. And he even went one step farther because he wanted to really make all the Jewish people mad and show them how strong he was and how profaning he was to them. He took a swine, a pig, and he offered that pig upon the altar, that this unclean animal that was never offered as sacrifice and could not be eaten by the Jews. He offered it as a sacrifice to this idol Zeus on God's holy altar in 168 B.C. And that created a great revolt we call the Maccabean Revolt, which led the Maccabees and the Jewish people to revolt and overthrow the Greeks, and the Jewish people gained back their independence. Now I want you to think about that episode in history and about even how us as Christians, that is so repulsive to think about, and what we know about the Old Testament, to think about setting up an idol in the holy place of God, to setting up and offering a pig on the sacred altar of God. That's just revolting to us. Why? Because you're taking something profane and offering it and injecting it into a sacred space. We need to avoid substances and abuse of substances because they're taking something that is profane, that alters our mind, and abusing that. Now, when we think about this, this gets to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, and Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that we are to be sober in our mind, sober in our thoughts. That is, the idea of our body, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We've got to control our mind and make sure that we don't put things into our mind that are going to cause us to not be able to think soberly and wisely so that we can avoid temptation. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled, notice this, be filled with the Spirit. Once again, the Holy Spirit is a part of our overcoming the substances and the things with the body. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it talks about the dangers of excessive use and abuse of alcohol, for wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. For who has woe, who has sorrow, who has strife, who has complaining, who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. For in the end it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. It will ruin your life. So when we think about substance abuses, we're thinking about alcohol. In Galatians chapter 5:20, Paul condemns sorcery in some versions. In the Greek it's pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy. Michael picked the one week I was going to talk about a pharmacy. The word is pharmakia, which it talks about, which is this idea that Paul is condemning of in the idols and the pagan worship, they would have drug-induced magic ceremonies and things, and they would alter their minds. And Paul's saying Christians shouldn't have anything to do with that. Don't involve yourself with drugs that alter your mind and influence your body. Think about some of the drugs that can influence us. We've talked about alcohol. There's illegal drugs. Drugs such as meth, cocaine, heroin, marijuana. Then there's the critical issue we have today that so many people who have good hearts and have to take prescription drugs for a time can then become addicted to that. And then there's all the prescription drug market out there on the what we call the black market, per se, of people that are addicted to that or abusing them, and how many families are being harmed and how many individuals are hurt through the use of prescription drugs or illegal drugs. Then we have the new craze of vaping and what the old thing of that we've dealt with for years and the challenge of smoking. And here's the thing that I'm saying is, certainly these are different degrees, and I'm not just lumping all this in per se together or saying that one thing of smoking is going to send someone to hell. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that when we think about and as we consider our bodies, realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that as you live out your life, think about what you're putting into your bodies and how that can impact you and your health as a steward of God. And don't put anything in it that's going to affect your sobriety and affect your witness for Christ and your ability to reason and avoid temptation. Now, we must recognize that, and this leads to the third one, just kind of rolls right in together. Oh, I had an illustration. I knew what it was. About moved on from it. I asked the jailer several years ago when we were doing the jail ministry, and then I talked to Joseph this morning and about this, who works at the jail, not Joseph Williams, but our new member Joseph, and he said this is right on, statistics right on. And here it is. I said, if we were to get rid of all the substance abuse problems in our county, drugs and alcohol, prescription drugs. So illegal drugs, prescription drugs, and alcohol. If we were to get rid of those, how much would it change our jail population and our criminal issues? And they both said, you could easily say, just off the top of your head, it would easily take out 80 to 90% of our jail would be cleared out if you just did away with all the substance abuse problems. I mean, you think about it. Most of the issues, from the domestic problems, from the other crimes, are all coming back to the core issue of drugs and alcohol abuse. And we as Christians need to understand that we need to talk about this. We need to encourage our kids not to ever participate in state because it's so harmful and so dangerous once you start it. And that we as Christians need to understand the reasons we do these things and the reasons we want to avoid those things is because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our body is not to be ruined and profaned by these outward substances, but it is to be used as a living sacrifice. The third point, and the third thing that we can deal with, and we think about stewardship of our body, is our health. Now, we need to make sure that we don't need to make health our idol, and we've dealt with that this year even in thinking about the virus, and we don't want to elevate health over other things and making sure that we still prioritize our spiritual health and our emotional health and our mental health and our social health. So we got a lot of things going on here. But remember, as we think about our bodies, we're a complex being. You're not just physical, but you're also emotional, you're mental, you're social. And so when you think about these things, you may need to visit a counselor. You may need to turn off some anxiety, fear-producing news services or social media so that you can have good health in your mind. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:8 that bodily exercise profits little. It has profit. It is of some value. It has value for us. Now, it's not as valuable as the verse he says before as godliness, but bodily exercise has profit. We need to think about how we use our bodies. In our physical education at Fried Harmon, they taught us, got a PE degree, and this is about what I learned, is that you need to have red, right? Rest, exercise, diet. You need to think, to have good health, you need to think about being active, doing things, staying up, staying involved, thinking about what you put in your body, your diet, and thinking about rest, getting sleep and resting. Can't work all the time, can't be active all the time, you got to have some downtime. Now, why is those things important? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to think about how we can use our body. And so, it may be that you need to control the things coming into your body in a mental way. It might mean that you need more time with good friends and with family and in a social way. But we need to understand that when Paul says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that affects how we live our body and the choices we make. And so we think about sexual purity, we think about substance abuse, we think about our health. And third and last, I would say that all these are connected because some of these are tough, right? And I tell you, I mean, some people that have become addicted to alcohol and drugs, whether it's a prescription drug, I mean, you can talk to someone who's recovering from that, how addictive that is. Some drugs like heroin and meth can totally change the brain and make you just where your brain just craves it. And how hard it is for people to get over alcohol and how they need a lot of support for that. And so I'm not trying in any way to say that these are not tough to deal with. Even as we think about our own health and we think about the challenge of sexual purity, how challenging that is for some people in a lot of ways. And that's whether they have a pornographic addiction or they have some other kind of addiction that is really hurting their life. How do we do it as Christians? Well, Paul gives us the answer here, and the hope we have in this is verse 27 of chapter 9. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should become disqualified. The challenge, and all these things get back to self-control and discipline. Now, the old King James Version, some of y'all liked it. Some of y'all younger people don't even know what it said, right? But it said, I buffet my body daily. And of course, the joke always was, that means you go to the local buffet daily. Go to the local buffet and just load up. Now, that's not what Paul means. That's bad interpretation right there. But what he's saying is you You discipline your body. You don't go to the world's buffet and just eat all you want of these things and just take all you want. No, he's saying right the opposite. He's saying that when you go out to the world's buffet of things, you say, I don't need any of that. When God, when Satan offers you all the sexual images and all the sexual temptation out there, you say, I don't want any of that. When he offers you the drugs and the alcohol and all the temptation, you say, I don't want any of that. When you're struggling with health issues or things like that want to pull you down and harm your spirit, you say, I don't want any of that. I'm going to control my health. Paul says, I discipline my body daily and bring it under subjection. It's a real challenge. But here's the thing. How do we do that? Well, number one, we realize the importance of this because our body was bought with a price. Christ died on Calvary for us. You're valuable. You're valuable. And what your body is a part of what Christ died for. He died for you. And God lives within you. This morning, if you're a child of God and you have fallen away and you need the help of the church or you need the prayers of the church, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come forward. If you've never experienced giving your life to Christ and having your sins washed away in baptism, then we would love to do that with you. You know, in baptism, you take the body and you put it all the way underwater. And this last Sunday, Eli Boland was baptized, and I'm so thankful for that. And he experienced his whole body being put underwater. You think about physical body being put underwater. Why did God require that of us? I think it's that mental thought, that symbol that once again, we are completely surrendered and giving our life to Christ so that we become totally covered in His blood and we're totally put into Christ. And then we come up a different person. If you've never done that and had your body put underwater as your heart trusts in faith of what Christ is doing, then we invite you to do that as together we stand and as we sing.